Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
Welcome to Full Power Living, where we are dedicated to awakening the world to the power, importance, and mastery of human emotions. For years now, I have seen our Earth as a giant school to which we've all come to learn and grow. And until I read Imre Valjean's book, The Way of the Spiritual Warrior, I didn't realize another way of looking at this. Valjean says this planet is a school for warriors. Listen today to find out what a spiritual warrior is and what it takes for you or me to become one as I talk with Valjean's student and editor, William von Holst. So please post your comments and questions on our blogs. They can be found at emotionalpro.com and on blogtalkradio.com/FPL for Full Power Living. And we have a toll-free number, 888-498-0570, 888-498-0570. Sign up for Full Power Living's broadcast through subscription on iTunes. Now let's talk about who we are featuring today. We have featured Imre Valjean on Full Power Living previously. He was born in 1940 in Budapest, Hungary, and then immigrated to New Zealand at the age of 16. And since 1980, he has dedicated his life to teaching the wisdom science through his extensive writings and also workshops and retreats that he has conducted around the world. He has an extraordinary knowledge of human spirituality that comes not only from scholarly research, but from his own interior realization, which we'll be talking about today, how interior realization is. He spans the full spectrum of human experience, that is, things like reaching through time, illuminating the great spiritual teachings and sacred languages of our planetary history, and also looking to the future. Imre's work is one of synthesis. His writing is universal. It's not biased toward any particular religion or tradition. And he's also the founder of Sounding Light Publishing, the Foundation for Higher Learning, and the Waiatutuna Retreat Center. All right, but Imre is not actually with us today. Instead, we have William von Holst, who holds a Master of Arts in Art History and Philosophy from the University of Illinois in Champaign, Urbana-Champaign. And he was also granted a scholarship from the University of Chicago, the Doctor of Philosophy Divinity School, but he turned it down. Instead, he chose to seek wisdom from alternative sources, and he's attended workshops from many teachers, including Elizabeth Clare Prophet, and our own California area, Ram Dass, who belongs to the world. William met Imre Valjean in 1986 and has had him as his exclusive teacher ever since. And William von Holst also edits, which I think is an incredible job for Imre Valjean. So, William von Holst, welcome once again to Full Power Living. It's a delight to have you.
Thank you so much.
All right. That was a long introduction. There's a lot of information here. All right. So, the writing of Imre Valjean in The Way of the Spiritual Warrior is profound. And it seems to me the book itself is an example of being a spiritual warrior. In it, he says what we need to do, what the spiritual warrior is all about. He gives us tools for beginning the process, and he talks about what we're facing, and even that is only part of what he offers. And my take on it is that, from reading it, is that he's seeking to wake humanity up to who we really are and why we're here. Do you have a comment on that?
Absolutely. And what Imre is doing is he's continuing a long line of spiritual teachers. There have always been spiritual teachers who have come down to the planet to help mankind at particular points to help them through the crisis. And what Emery says is that Earth is a planet of war. Earth, we have always been in conflict. There are always wars going on. So it's, in simple words, you could say it's a school of hard knocks. So what Emery is doing, he's continuing that tradition, and that tradition is that to really bring down light into the physical plane, you really have to be a warrior, which means you really have to have an enormous strength within. You have to know the enormous battles that you're engaged with when you bring down this light, to be very clear in what this whole process is all about. So there have been many, many spiritual warriors. Christ was a very powerful spiritual warrior. Kuan Yin in China was a spiritual warrior. The Buddha was a spiritual warrior. Lao Tzu was a spiritual warrior. So all these teachers, at a particular point, have a mission. And they come down, they are able to hold light here in the physical level and help students, help others experience that light as well, so they also can continue that evolution of human consciousness.
So since you mentioned it, could you pinpoint for us more exactly how Emery, and possibly you, see the particular challenges that he has come to help us with?
Well, what's going on is that we live in an extremely materialistic world. And even in the last 10, 20, 30, 40 years, the world has become more and more materialistic. So what the battle is that when everyone is so engaged in the material realm, what happens is that you lose that sensitivity, or you lose that insight into your inner being. You even lose your feeling nature. So I grew up in the 50s and 60s, and I remember very much as a child riding my bike in the dirt, climbing trees, feeling the earth. And children today, for the most part, don't really have that experience. They're so focused in technology. They're so focused in the digital world and the world of the iPhone and the world of television that they've lost that sensitivity to nature. So the whole materialization of the planet is part of the process. That's where we are in our evolutionary path. We're really sinking down into the material plane. The material plane isn't bad, but what it means is that it's challenging for people to connect to their feeling nature, to their inner quality, their inner light, their inner being, when they're so absorbed in looking outward. So what Emery does, what all spiritual teachers do, is that they help you turn your vision 180 degrees so that you're also able to look inward. So, and Emery doesn't, in the last 2,000 years, there have been focuses on in a monastery where you kind of deny the world. That's not what Emery's teaching is about. You don't deny the world, you accept the world as it is. That's what a warrior does. But you also are able to look inward simultaneously to feel your inner being and to be both outward in the world and also inward connected.
You know, I so like that. Over the years that I've become more spiritually oriented myself, that's a split that I've had difficulty with. It's like, you know, you want to go inward, but you have to take action also. You can't just be a blob in the world. And how to determine that. I learned a lot from reading his book. And I just want to comment also that probably in the last 12 years, I have just absolutely turned off to the notion of shopping. I mean, I even resent going out to buy groceries sometimes. So I'm having some kind of reaction to this materialism that you're talking about.
And that materialism is really powerful. So, and it's going to continue. It's not going to let up. We're actually, you know, in these big kind of sweeps of energy. We're starting a 2,000-year process of materialization. So that's why it's so important for people who still have that inner feeling to that something other, that they really treasure it and find the best way to keep it strong. And what I have found is that when you're alone in the world, it's quite a challenge to battle the, you know, the materialistic forces. But when you come together in a group and you all are like-minded, then that energy that you create being together helps you become stronger and stronger connected inwardly, so that you're able to go out in the world, you're able to go to the grocery store and buy your fruits and vegetables, whatever you need to buy, and not lose that interconnection. And that's what a warrior is. A warrior is always interconnected and can be in the battle of life, and whatever comes up in that moment, the warrior is aware of what's happening, but is still always inwardly connected.
Now, that's not a super easy thing to do. I was sharing with you prior to the show, and our listeners certainly know that my husband died in January, and he had a 4.5-year battle himself regarding cancer, and it was. I had to work every day to remind myself, you know, to connect with my higher self, to stay in love, to look for the highest possible place I could get on a day-to-day basis when things were as challenging as they were.
What Emery talks about is life is a battle, and the battle. But what he teaches that really. To live in this world and still be inwardly connected is a battle, because in any single circumstance that any of us find ourselves in every day, there's always that moment that pulls us out of our interconnectedness or distracts us into some kind of crazy thinking. The politics going on today in America is enough to drive anyone crazy. So, but that's.
Yeah.
But that all pulls us out of ourselves. So what Emery teaches is that to really be in the moment, and this is what Emery says, which I find so powerful, is that a warrior accepts himself or herself exactly as you are at that moment. So that whatever you're going through, whatever battles that you're facing, however that moment is at in any particular time, you accept it. You accept what's happening around you. You accept that the world is crazy. You accept that you're also struggling to hold that light within or to hold that quality within. And in that accepting, there's a peace or there's a clarity or there's a possibility of a moment of, oh, yes, this is what I should be doing. This is the right response at this moment in these circumstances.
Yes, he talked about stillness. I think that connected with me. You know, from reading the book, the way he presented it gave me hope for staying better connected, in that he indicated, the way I read it, that the more inward you go and the more bliss you and love you connect with, the more you want to stay connected with that.
Well, how can I say this? It's a very powerful energy stream. So these energies are real. These energies are really the energies of your soul. So what Emery is referring to is that your real strength or your real power comes from your innermost nature, your inner soul, your higher self, whatever word that you want to describe, your innermost essence. So when you have that connection to that essence, then it pours through you, and it pours through you so that you really are very clear in the moment, but you also have an enormous impact on the people around you, because they feel something's different. They feel something about you that is that is very clear, instead of most people kind of get bombarded left and right by all the battles of life, or all the crazy circumstances, or all the crazy thing the government's doing, or all the crazy things that's happening in the medical field or the insurance industry or taxes. I mean, just there's just so many crazy things going on. So when someone's really connected inwardly to their true self, there's a radiance, there's a peace, there's a clarity, there's even a light. So that is what a warrior is. A warrior is really a very peaceful, clear point of light walking on the planet in physical body to really, and this is what Emery says about a warrior too, is that a real warrior is nothing about themselves. A real warrior is here to help others. Christ was here to help others. Kuan Yin was here to help others. So all true spiritual teachers are past that point of kind of processing everything within themselves, and they're here to really be a point of clarity to help others.
You know, I'm just going to go off on a slight tangent here. That has been one of the things I've been observing through the process of my husband being ill and dying, which is that most people have expected me to be very upset and off center, and you know, I did sleep for a bit, but actually I haven't experienced upset at all. I miss my husband. I'm sad that he went the way that he did, but it's been easy for me to go forward. And I've had a lot of people calling, "Are you doing all right? Are you doing all right?" And I go, "Yeah, I'm doing fine." You know, so it's wonderful to hear this, because I've been kind of wondering, am I really feeling things? Am I alive here? Because I'm not reacting the way most people expect me to react.
Well, just to give you a little flip side to what you said, and Emery, I don't think it's in the book, The Way of the Spiritual Warrior, but what Emery says is that when we should really be sad when someone's born, and should be overjoyed when someone dies. No, and
I can relate to that.
But what he's saying is that your soul is this brilliant, dynamic, beautiful, beautiful energy. So when you incarnate, when you're thrown into that teeny little fetus and that teeny little baby, your consciousness shrinks enormously. So you're stuck in this physical little body, and your emotional, your consciousness, your mind is shrunk to nothing. So, and of course, we go through life and we struggle and we do all the things that we have to do, and then, of course, we all die. There are karmic reasons. There's many, many things outside of our control that the process of death is all about. But when we die, what happens is that we're liberated from that limited construct that we've lived our whole life, and we open up and feel the fullness of who we truly are. So for Emery, even though we miss people, and you know, death can be a very tedious process and painful and all kinds of things, when that person is leaving the physical body, they move into a greater expansion. So it's really a birth. It's really a joyous occasion. And as you said, when a soul incarnates into a little baby, it's painful. It's hard for the soul because it's shrunk down to nothing. So it's just a little reverse way of looking at the whole process.
That's very helpful. Thank you. We are up to our first break. I want to invite you to call in 888-498-0570, and you can talk with William von Holst personally. He's a student and editor for Imre Valjean, and we're talking about Valjean's book, The Way of the Spiritual Warrior. And I want to talk more about emotions and consciousness and feelings when William, so we'll be right back. You're listening to Full Power Living. That emotionally, children form the foundation for their life during their first 7 years. Most adults just repeat that early emotional learning, good or bad, over and over for the rest of their lives. If you want to give your child an opportunity to live an emotionally masterful life, then join me, Eileen Dillon, also known as the Emotional Pro, for a free one-hour teleseminar on what it takes for your child to become an emotional master. You'll discover important things like what emotions are designed to do for us, four things it's vital for parents to tell their children about emotions, and the single most important thing to do when someone is feeling emotion. Register now at RaiseIncredibleKids.com. The time has come for us to allow emotions their rightful place in our lives as the tools and helpers they're created to be. Find out what you need to know in order to give this vital information to your children so they can live emotionally masterful lives. Go now to RaiseIncredibleKids.com for your free Emotional Mastery Teleseminar. Welcome back to Full Power Living. Our topic today is The Way of the Spiritual Warrior, and my guest is William von Holst. Before we get back to our discussion, I have a few announcements. I invite you to visit emotionalpro.com, and you can download your copy of my free list of the signals of seven everyday emotions, which can help you to move toward emotional mastery with the emotions that come up in your life. And while you're there, sign up to be on our mailing list so we can send you our biweekly newsletter telling you about our programs. Next week, I'll be talking with Lynn Robinson about divine intuition, and among other things, we'll be talking about how you can make great decisions even when you don't have all the facts. That's next Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific time to hear Lynn Robinson on divine intuition. I also want to thank you for helping us with our mission of transforming our world through the understanding the importance, mastery, and power of human emotions. We've been bringing you our unique in-depth program since 2004, and since emotions are part of everything, we have had a very wide-ranging program and guest list over that time. Today I'm talking with William von Holst, who is editor for Imre Valjean's many books. I counted 24 on Wikipedia, including the one we're discussing today, The Way of the Spiritual Warrior. And before we get into the question on emotions, you've been on over 40 month-long retreats with Imre all over the world, as I understand, William, and you've also conducted sessions in some of these retreats, and you say that the true spiritual path is participating in an energy field, and that's what Imre is talking about in his books and retreats, and that it's been your good fortune to experience this energy field. Will you talk a little bit about that, please?
Oh, those are good questions. Thank you. What I'm referring to is that, and I said this in the first segment of your show, is that when a group of people come together and they really focus on the light, or they focus on bringing down their souls, there is an enormous impact on the people present. And there's also enormous impact on the inner levels as well. So what happens is that it is a event, or it is a moment that can possibly change the history of the planet. So there have been other examples of this when a Christ or when a Kuan Yin or when Buddha, when they come together with their disciples, what they are doing is that they're really creating an energy field that allows the light to pour down into the physical plane. And that when that light pours down into the physical plane, then each of their souls is activated. Each of their souls comes to life. And so what Emery teaches is that the first step for a warrior is that you integrate your personality so that your personality is not perfect, but your personality is reasonably balanced. And when your personality is reasonably balanced, then there's that possibility that your soul, your higher self, that, and I talked about in the first segment, when the soul incarnates into the little body, it gets all squished down into a little body, little mind. And what's possible, and this is what every single human being will eventually experience in some lifetime, is that when you begin to connect with your soul, that beautiful, exquisite being that you were before you incarnated can also be completely present in your body in the physical plane. That's what Christ did. That's what all these teachers do. That's the story, that you can become a soul-infused personality. So for Emery, the second stage of being a warrior is that you can bring, you become your soul, so that you live and your soul live simultaneously in the physical plane. And that's really the process of what a warrior is, that they can radiate that light wherever they go, whenever circumstances, and that light is solid and it's consistent. And it, when your soul is present in your physical body, you are solid, you are a radiant point of light, and you're able to help others, and it triggers their connection with their soul in that process.
That is so beautiful. I want to back up for a minute because there are four aspects to integrating personality, as I recall, including emotions. And would you go through what you say the first step is to integrate your personality and keep it reasonably balanced? What are those four elements?
Well, Emery talks, and it's a wonderful chapter, he talks about the vehicle, and you have four tires. You have
That's
your
right.
physical tire, which is your physical body. You have your etheric tire, which is the kind of, it's an energy that's immediately around the physical body. It's like your energy, your vitality, some people are very energetic. That's their etheric body. You also have your emotional astral body, which is another tire. And then you also have your mental body, which is another tire. So what Emery teaches is that you really have to understand that your personality is made of four tires. And what he says is that for most of us, one of those tires is driving the vehicle. Either people are very mental, so they're driving their vehicle with their mental body or one of their tires. And if you've ever driven a car, you know it's kind of hard to drive a car with a single tire. So what he teaches is that when you can balance your physical body, your etheric body, your astral body, your mental body, the person who really should be driving that vehicle is your soul. Your soul is really the driver. And as I said before, the first step of becoming a spiritual warrior is that you become reasonably balanced. So that means that your physical body, your etheric body, your astral body, your mental body, those four tires are balanced. And when those four tires are balanced, then the one who really is driving and always has been driving becomes a true driver, and that's your soul.
It's so simple. And, of course, in my understanding, truth is simple. And I like that explanation. Thank you. So that does lead us into, obviously, my work here on the earth has to do with one of those tires, the emotional astral tire. And I know that Emery makes a differentiation between feelings and emotions. And I would like you to clarify that for us, please, what that is.
And there's the emotions are one thing. And everybody has an emotional body. Your emotional body extends maybe 3 feet outside of your physical body. And that emotional body is dynamic and it's moving and it's a 100 times greater experience than what you experience here in the physical body. When you dream, most people go into their astral body. So many people's dreams are wonderful and beautiful or can be hellish. So that's all the dynamic energy of the astral plane. When feelings, what he's referring to is that we each have spiritual perception. So on the inner levels, some people perceive with sound. So they're quiet and they hear sounds on the inner levels. Some people, many people are like this. Some people see. They'll see light in front of their third eye. They will see images. They will see geometric shapes. But there's also the sense of a spiritual feeling. And spiritual feeling is a little harder to describe, but they sense something. They sense the inner levels through their feeling nature. And, of course, there's also smell and taste. So you can also, we have five senses, and we also have five spiritual senses. So some people, and it's rare, can taste like nectar or exquisite food that's not even describable in normal life. It's a sense of the spiritual level, or also smell. Some people will smell incredible roses or exquisite fragrance. So these five spiritual senses reflect the five physical senses that we have on the physical plane. Most of us experience things through our physical senses on the physical plane, but you can also cultivate the spiritual perceptions. You can see inwardly in the planes, you can hear inwardly, and you can feel inwardly.
So now, you know, rounding all this up is a challenge here. First of all, everyone has the power to become, or the ability to become, a spiritual warrior, should they choose. Secondly, once you can get the four tires of your personality in order, then you can, then you need to go inside and you need to experience, you can't be told about, you need to experience your own soul, and each one being unique and different. And we need to do this now, is another thing. And also, most people living in our materialistic world are not aware that there's even this spiritual side of themselves. And therein lies your challenge and Valiant's challenge and mine as well, which is to bring people's attention to the fact that there's so much more to them than they've probably ever experienced since they've been here, since they got squeezed in that tiny body and consciousness.
And,
all right.
And what's happening, I mean, there is good news. And the good news is that there's a vibration. Yes, it's materialistic, but everything in the universe is kind of an equation. It's balanced. So, yes, we're moving more into a materialistic energy, but there's also enormous support and focus from the inner levels. So there's, and I don't want to sound too science fiction-y, but there's incredible conscious beings on the inner levels who are here to help us, who are at our side even if we're not aware of it, who are helping us in crises, are helping us in connecting to ourselves. So it's a huge battle, and that battle is becoming more intense. The battle is raging even further. So yes, people are becoming materialistic, but there's many people waking up. There's many people with a sense of something else that they're seeking, that they're looking for something that they can't quite figure out what it is, but they know something is out there. And those people get help. Those people will be led to a bookstore or connected to a person who can help them, or perhaps listen to a radio interview. So there's an enormous network of energy also happening on the planet that is supportive, that's really helping people connect, really helping people connect, first of all, understanding intellectually, and then when they understand that intellectually, then they have a clear, like as you said before I just spoke, is that the truth is simple, and it's extremely powerful. So the mental mind makes it all very complicated, but when you really connect to it, it's just utterly simplistic and beautiful and harmonious and joyous and blissful and exquisitely beautiful. So there's both.
Yeah, you know, I've really seen that running this radio program. There's just been, in the last 3 to 4 years, there's been an explosion of people available as guests on the radio program who are exploring different aspects of spirit and bringing people's attention to spirit, to the fact that we are not just physical, we're also spiritual. But I want to bring attention here, because one of the issues about materialism, you talk about helping us connect. One of the issues that we need to look at, that's from my reading of Valjean's book, is really has a big impact on our world, is that when you get into really powerful materialism, you get into separation. You get into feeling like you're separate. You have to get your own goodies. You get competitive, etc. And that's very materialistic. And in the spiritual realms, everything, everyone is connected. We're essentially all the same. And that's part of the issue that is, if you will, jerking the world around right now, is it not?
Absolutely. And but what Emery says that I find so powerful is that we don't deny the physical world. We don't shut ourselves up into a monastery. We don't abstract ourselves. What we do is we fully engage in the world. And by fully engaging in the world, you can have an enormous impact when you are connected within. So, yes, the world is, as you said, is getting jerked around because the materialism is becoming stronger. And that's contrary to be really spiritual, but in that contradiction there's hope. In that contradiction there, as I said before, there's enormous conscious entities, angelic forces, archangelic forces, these incredible cosmic beings that are enormously powerful, that are here to help us. And when we ask, they find us, they help us, and they are waiting for us to ask, waiting for us to really be sincere, because when you're really sincere and devotional within, they respond. And it could be a simple breath over a shoulder. It could be a going left instead of right in a particular intersection. There's all kinds of very fascinating ways that they can step in to help you move in that right direction, to help you really know what it will take for you to connect to the inner levels. And when you begin to connect to the inner levels, they are also very helpful in continuing that process.
You know, I just had dinner with a neighbor of mine last night who told me, he's in his late 40s now, he told me that when he was a teenager, he and a group of his friends were driving around in a pickup truck, and some of the people were hanging off the back of the truck with their legs dangling down and so forth. And one of his friends, the group of boys, decided to go someplace together, and one of his friends said he was tired and he wanted to stay back, and he stayed back, and of course there was an accident and at least one of the people was killed, and he likely, because he was sitting on the back of the truck, would have been killed also, but that movement kept him safe. I found that's kind of a story that would support that, but I want to go another direction, and that is about one of the things that fascinated me is toward the end of The Way of the Spiritual Warrior, Emery talks about the fact that just as we have systems in our physical body, like our circulatory system, our heart, our liver, those sorts of things, that we are like a microcosm of the macrocosm, and that every, you know, the universe has those kinds of systems, and the Earth has those kinds of systems, and that for the Earth, humanity operates as the heart, and that the ways in which we are thinking and behaving are beginning to clog up Earth's heart the way cholesterol could clog up your arteries. Now, that may be very simplistic, but that's the way I understood it. Could you talk more on that, please?
What Emery says is that we as a human being are made up with kind of a vast energy around us. So the heart center is the sun of who we are, and the chakras are like the planets revolving around our sun, which is in our heart. The solar system, the sun is its heart, and the planets are the chakras revolving around the sun. So what that means is that we are, the Bible says that we are created in the image of God. That means we are, the divine is also created in that way. There's a heart center, and everything revolves around that heart or around that sun. So our solar system is also a chakra of a greater sun. So Emery says there's 12 solar systems revolving around a central sun. And it goes on and on and on in this vast divine proportions. And yes, planet Earth is also, it's a cosmic being. She's, as I've said in some other interviews, there's 7 billion brats running around her causing havoc. So she's in pain. She's hurting. She's struggling to survive. She's struggling to she's also struggling to become conscious. Meaning she's already conscious, but she's struggling to move up to the next level consciously. So part of the huge struggle that's going on the planet is that she's under stress to not only deal with the 7 billion little brats running around doing all kinds of crazy little things that they do, but she's also struggling to hold all of them and not stress out as much as any mother with 7 billion brats would stress out. So there's times when sometimes you could say she's having a hissy fit, or she's releasing energy, huge earthquakes, huge storms, huge, transitions on the planet, that her struggling to hold all this energy, plus keep the Earth in balance, and plus she's working on stepping up to the next level in consciousness. So she has her work cut out for us. But what helps is that any one of those 7 billion little children running around her surface who's able to hold light, who's able to be a point of peace or a point of stillness or a point of light or a point of love or a point of clarity or even a point of, memory says this, sometimes I find it so powerful, that even picking up a caterpillar after a rainstorm or a worm after rainstorm that's somehow gotten on the sidewalk, you pick up that little worm, you take it off the sidewalk, and you put it in the dirt, that registers in the divine mind. That registers in the whole totality of what's happening on this planet, because there is an act of kindness. There is someone who is considerate of another creature and is helping that other creature. So it's a huge, complex, and so much vaster than any single person can even comprehend, that there is this hope for a golden age. There is this hope that this planet can truly become a planet of light, that this planet no longer has to suffer as it suffered all these hundreds and thousands of years, that there's enough people waking up on the planet that the small acts of kindness, taking a worm off the sidewalk, helping a small child who's suffering, that those small acts of kindness will indeed bring about peace on this planet, and that the warring and the conflict and all this incredible masculine energy, that the feminine itself can come in and really become balanced with that masculine, and in that balance of the masculine and the feminine, there's a possibility for peace. There's a possibility that this planet will really change its direction.
Well, that's a beautiful statement. And that's part of the reason you're on this show and the reason that Imrie is writing his books is to encourage as many people as are moved by your message to start going in that direction. At least that's the way I understand it. And that's a direction of enlightenment, William. And I think most people think that enlightenment is something we'll one day reach. But I have this quote from Imrie. He says, "On the spiritual path, there's always growth. There is always moving ahead, having deeper experiences, reaching deeper states of enlightenment. Enlightenment is not something that happens to you once in a lifetime. It is ongoing. Enlightenment is breaking through to a new level of awareness, growing on that level until you reach the total possibility of that condition, and then making an effort to break through to the next level." Do you have comments?
Enlightenment is an ongoing enlightenment. There's that little moment and it's just a flick of something and something changes. So, and that goes on and on and on. It's not like you just, you know, sit under some tree and you become enlightened. That's a misconception from a long time ago. What it is that we're all in that process of enlightening. We're all in that process of bringing light down from the inner levels. We're all in that process of understanding, as I said before, just picking up a worm off a sidewalk. That's a quality of enlightenment. That's a quality of kindness. That's a quality of the beautiful part of being a human. That a human being is an exquisitely complex and beautiful, beautiful creature. There's a long old saying that when someone really becomes enlightened, the angels bow down and worship. What that means is that it's such hard going here in the physical body. It's a warring planet. It's a tough place to be. In all the multiple stars running around and planets, this is a tough place to incarnate. There's others that are not this tough. But what that means is that when someone really embodies light, are really enlightened on the physical plane, that the angels bow down and worship, meaning that angelic forces are incredibly powerful on the inner levels, but they refrain, they retract with any pain. So even though they're connected to the divine, even though they are vastly beautiful, beautiful entities by pain or suffering, so for them the physical plane is completely not in their consciousness. So when a human being can embody all those forces above and still be on the physical plane with all its pain and with all its suffering, it is like the Christ was or like the Buddha was. It's just an enormously powerful human being, and that's who you're supposed to be.
Wow. So one thing that I'm thinking about as we're exploring this is the contrast that we have, and I know, at least my understanding is that this world is a world of duality, but we are having incredible acts of unkindness going on in the world with people shooting one another or tearing each other apart publicly or violating each other at the same time that we have people who are picking up worms off the sidewalk. And I wonder if you have anything to say about the fact that we have such powerful contrast right now. You know, I would consider this is something for us to learn from, but what's it about from your perspective?
Well, as I understand it from Imrie, what's happening is that there's multiple things happening. And what's happening is that there is the light itself is stepping down into the physical plane. And what that means is that the light is this extremely powerful dynamic energy, and it's stepping itself down into the physical world. So what that does is that for some people, it accelerates their connection. It accelerates their understanding. But for other people, they're not able to handle that energy. So what they do is that they react in ways that are crazy or ways that are violent or angry, because there's such a energy pressuring to move forward that the only way that they can deal with that energy is craziness or violence and all these other things. So, but what Emery says that's so powerful is that we don't judge or condemn these people who can't handle the energy. What we do is that we understand that this is a situation today and these energies are increasing. So what he says is that, and a warrior does this, is extremely compassionate, is that there are all kinds of forces that are at play and we are not in the position to judge. We are only in the position to be clear within ourselves. And if we're able to help at that moment, we help. And if we're not able to help at that moment, we don't. So it's a huge, vast subject. And there's a lot of energies happening on this planet. And what he says is that these energies will increase. So this opposition, this duality is not going to diminish. This duality is going to get even more and more intense. And in some ways, what he's saying, it sounds kind of apocalyptic, but what he's saying is that we are essentially in the apocalypse. We are in that huge crisis, the huge battles of you could say, light and dark, the huge battles of the forces that want to continue the status quo and the huge forces that want the planet to move into a golden age. So the 7 little billion brats running on the planet are in the middle of that battle. And what he says is that it's important when you understand that battle, then you're not bombarded and knocked down so quickly. You as a warrior, you stand up, you know what all that's going on, and that you take your stand, and that's how it is.
And so each one of us can play a powerful part. And this has been important to me as a psychotherapist over the years. I teach people that you don't have to go out and change the world. The person you need to change and connect with and grow is your own self, because that then, as you've been saying, radiates out to the world. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
Good. Now, we're coming close to the end of the hour, and if you who are listening are interested in knowing more, of course, you can read The Way of the Spiritual Warrior, but one of the websites is the FHL.org, which is the Foundation for Higher Learning. And so could you just take a minute, William, and talk about how people could connect with Emery and his work?
Well, there's two ways. We have a publishing company, and the publishing company is called Sounding Light, Sounding, Light. As Emery says, where there's sound, there's light, and when there's light, there's sound. So it's soundinglight.com. So you can go on that website and you can order any one of these books. Or the other website is the FHL, F as in Frank, HL.org. And that talks about Emery, and it talks about the worldwide group. And there's contacts if you want to contact someone. And these are two possibilities. And the books themselves have a truth. So when you read them, all of a sudden they just sort of click, and it's not like a processing of some kind of intellectual process or scholarly research, or they're not channeled. These books are simple, and they just speak directly to your soul. And as you read them, something changes within, something opens up, something is understood. So they're really very, very beautiful, powerful books.
It must be quite something to edit them. That's amazing.
Well, there's a whole team of editors. I'm just one of many editors.
Oh, you're one of them. All right. Your own, you know, working on your, becoming your own spiritual warrior self and editing. It's just must be quite a rich life you have. So William von Holst, on behalf of my own self and listeners here at Full Power Living, I really want to thank you for appearing to help us understand the way of the spiritual warrior and the importance of choosing to become a spiritual warrior. And I am personally grateful to you and to Imre Valjean for your lifetime of work and service to me and the other members of our human family. So thank you for that. And thank you for appearing on Full Power Living today.
Thank you so much.
All right. Join us live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, which is noon Eastern Time, for more powerful experiences on Full Power Living, including next Thursday when I talk with Lynn Robinson about divine intuition. Thank you, Paul Johnston of Fresh Talk Media, for being our long-term and attentive producer. And for now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you, pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
You're listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.